What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, where you'll find out what the Fukushima's going on.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It is Tuesday, March 12th, 2019, getting into the middle of the month here, and we have got a lot to talk about today. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Mike is in our control room, ready to answer the phone, put you on the air with your comments, questions, and opinions. So let's get right on into it, because there's a lot going on. Venezuela is still trying to deal with this massive power outage, and of course Maduro and the Venezuelan government are saying it's a monster cyber attack. Plus apparently there's been some actual sabotage on the ground, where certain facilities have actually been bombed now. Guido of course is saying, well, this is just a result of Maduro's corruption and incompetence. But I'm siding with those who think that this is a U.S. cyber war, because the timing is just too cute. I mean, it came right after Elliot Abrams was outed for saying there was no direct military attack being planned. Now, the interesting thing that has evolved over the last couple of days here, it turns out that there was actually a U.S. plan back in the Bush era to take down Venezuela's power grid. And, you know, just kind of this national lights out. You know, the U.S. government response is, this is Maduro's fault. It's all Maduro's fault. But Kelev Litaru, actually writing in Forbes, stated that the United States remotely interfering with Venezuela's power grid is actually quite realistic. And this is based on a memo that came out in September 2010, that was authored by a U.S.-funded soft power organization that helped train Venezuelan coup leader Juan Guaido and his allies. And it identifies the collapse of the country's electrical sector as a watershed event that would likely have the impact of galvanizing public unrest in a way that no opposition group could ever hope to generate. Well, that memo certainly seems to have relevance today, but the analysis appears to be incorrect, because the majority, the vast majority of the Venezuelan people do see this as a U.S. attack. So this is hardening their resolve to stand up. It is creating a lot of confusion, a lot of people dying in the hospitals as they run out of fuel for the emergency generators. Claire put up this photo the other day of this parent carrying a child who died in the hospital because the machinery all stopped working. But again, these people who plan these wars and conquest, and we're all going to get rich here, we've got stock in the oil companies and the defense contractors, and we don't really care who dies along the way here, because as long as we get more money, you know, it doesn't really matter here. But more and more people are starting to write about the fact that this does appear to have been a massive cyber attack. South Front is out there basically talking about the failure at the Guri hydroelectric power plant, where something caused the turbines to shut down, to simply apply the brakes to stop working. And apparently the Cedar substation in Bolivar State was blown up. So they're still trying to deal with that, but every time they get the system almost back up and running, there's another problem. And Maduro is out there saying these electrical systems are being targeted by cyber attacks and infiltrators. And he said that Venezuela managed to restore power to many parts of the country on March 8, but the restored systems were knocked down again. So now, the U.S. continues to reject these claims. You know, we wouldn't do anything like that. I mean, really, how could you even think we would do something like that? And Secretary of State Mike Pompeo even claimed that Washington and its allies would not hurt the ordinary Venezuelans. Oh, and just who do those massive economic sanctions hurt, Mike? Anyway. All right. The Venezuelan government has given the U.S. diplomats 72 hours to get out of Venezuela. It's the final countdown. There was this little tit-for-tat going on where they were declared persona non grata and told to leave. Then Guido said, I'm in charge here. I demand that you stay. And Washington told the diplomats to stay. And yes, you could wind up in jail or you could wind up dead. But really, it's for a noble cause. But the diplomats are basically being told, 72 hours, get out of Venezuela, or bad things will happen to you. Guido, meanwhile, is now out there saying that he is willing to support a foreign intervention, which is confirmation again that the Venezuelan military did not, in fact, swing over to support him as he'd promised Mike Pence. So the situation down there is very dynamic, and it's just, again, like with all these U.S. interventions, it's just causing huge amounts of pain and suffering to the ordinary people of the country. All right, we're going to do a shout-out now to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining our network here. We're talking about the crisis in Venezuela, and the European Parliament has decided to hold a plenary session on the Venezuela crisis. And basically, about the only thing they can do is side with the United States and say, oh, yes, it's got to be Juan Guaido. Oh, yeah, it's got to be Juan Guaido. Juan Guaido's got to be the president of Venezuela. Well, that's really up to the Venezuelan voters. And last year, they voted Maduro into power. Now, Russia, China, Mexico, and Turkey continue to recognize Maduro as the only legitimate president. But again, look at the arrogance that's coming in from all these other countries where, you know, forget what the voters of Venezuela want. We, the powers of, you know, these other nations, it's up to us to decide who's going to be the government of Venezuela. And it is a lot of arrogance there. And again, Russia continues to send a very strong message. They will defend their Venezuela oil assets in the toughest way possible. And of course, Russia is Maduro's staunchest international ally. So I think what Russia may be thinking about doing is turning Venezuela into the next Syria or into the next Venezuela. And in fact, years ago, when the U.S. started on this campaign of adventurism across the globe, Russia said its strategy to prevent this would be to tangle up the United States in wars of attrition and just grind them down, which apparently worked in Syria. It worked in Afghanistan. The U.S. is still stuck in Iraq. The U.S. is not really doing very well, even with its Saudi proxy in Yemen. This is already a failed policy, but the U.S. won't back off here. Over in Syria, in Dar al-Zawar, there's been yet another case of U.S.-led airstrikes killing civilians. And in this case, about 50 people were killed, scores injured, when U.S.-led warplanes targeted families fleeing the last vestiges of Daesh's territorial rule in the besieged village of Baghouz near the Iraqi border. Now, if these eyewitnesses are to be believed, the U.S.-led warplanes were targeting the fleeing civilians. And this comes just a few days after the U.S.-led coalition dropped white phosphorus bombs on Baghouz, leaving a number of civilians, mostly women and children, dead. And I'd like to remind everybody who's paying attention, the use of white phosphorus for anything other than a smokescreen is a war crime under international law. So, and another reminder, this one from Activist Post, that the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons report has basically come on out and said that the United States, France, and Great Britain were wrong to cruise missile Syria, claiming that the Syrian government had used chemical weapons in Douma in April of 2018. It did not happen. It's another case of Saddam's nuclear weapons. It's a lie. to say we're justified in blowing up other people's countries here. Yesterday, we were reporting on all the arm twisting the United States government is doing to other countries, you know, to buy American. Don't you dare do business with these other countries. You will do business with us. And one of those countries, of course, is Turkey, which is looking at buying the Russian S-400 missile defense systems. And the U.S. came on back and said, well, if you dare buy from Russia, then we'll not sell you the F-35. And I guess the Turkish government has been taking a really good look at the F-35 because they came on back and said, okay, the S-400 missile defense systems, it's a done deal. It's going forward. Keep your F-35s. Over in Saudi Arabia, right now, they are the world's top arms buyer. They can't get enough of these weapons. And right now, having kicked up the Middle East into a war zone, the defense contractors are making oodles of bucks. And, of course, the American defense contractors are getting angry that defense companies in other countries seem to be actually getting the deals now. But right now, Middle Eastern countries are buying more than a third of all global arms. And the biggest customer is Saudi Arabia, whose purchases have soared 192% over a five-year period. They have almost doubled over 5 years. And, of course, a lot of those weapons are being dumped on the people of Yemen, which makes the arms dealers complicit in these war crimes. But I guess if you're an arms dealer, you've long ago made that decision to say, yeah, okay, so I'm selling stuff that kills people and does, you know, war crimes. It's a business. We're just making some money here. But I think it's time that we apply the liberal logic regarding guns to the arms dealers, because the liberal gun grabbers are out there insisting that the gun manufacturers and gun dealers share the blame for the crimes committed with the guns they sell. Okay, fair enough. Let's apply that to the arms dealers. And let's just say that finally, when we get to the end of all of this and a war crimes tribunal is convened, that the CEOs of all these defense contractors and all these major arms dealers are right up there in the docks with the military who actually committed the war crimes. That'll be a way to kind of calming all of this stuff down. But we're seeing all these innocent people, men, women, and children, who are not combatants, they're not part of the political structure, they're being killed and crippled, blown to bloody bits in this argument over oil, pipeline rights of way, and whose brand of ink and paper the world is going to use for the next 100 years. And it should make us all sick to consider what's going on, what the United States has become over the last 20 years here. Okay, Lindsey Graham is now out there and he's announced he's going to push for the United States to recognize Israel's sovereignty over the Golan Heights, because just think of what Israel can do with all that oil and gas, which they've already sold, by the way. So Lindsey Graham is out there saying, you know, I'm going to explain this to the administration, and if we could get Trump to move the embassy to Jerusalem, I'm sure we can get Trump to say that, yes, Israel now owns the Golan Heights. And to clarify for people who are not aware of the history, the Golan Heights is part of Syria, and technically it still is. It has been occupied by Israel since 1967. Now, Israel officially annexed the Golan Heights, but no other nation has recognized that. The rest of the nations of the world are saying, no, it's still part of Syria, and Israel really shouldn't be there. But Lindsey Graham is really pushing, and he's saying that Israel giving up the Golan Heights would be an Israeli strategic nightmare. Okay, well, here's your rifle, Lindsey. Here's your parachute. Here's your Dayglo orange jumpsuit left over from the CIA torture centers. You watch your head climbing into that transport plane, and we'll call Bashar al-Assad and tell him you're on your way to kick his butt all by yourself. But the American people are tired of all these wars. We're tired of these wars bankrupting this nation, as illustrated by Trump's latest budget. We're tired of our children coming home in cheap metal boxes draped with American flags, which are made in China, or coming home in wheelchairs or on crutches. Enough is enough is enough. These wars do not benefit the United States of America or the American people. They enrich privately owned corporations, stockholders, banks, and defense contractors. That's what it's really all about. Now, I have been trying to find some kind of confirmation about this story that came on out yesterday, where Syria had warned Israel that if they did not leave the Golan Heights, that Syria would attack Israel. And I was suspicious of this story because it seems out of character for Assad. And so far, I have been looking everywhere for this story, and every place it's reported, and it's being reported everywhere, it all tracks back to the same source, Israel World News. Now, we haven't had any comments from Syria, at least none that are being reported in the corporate media. We've had no statement from the United Nations, which supposedly acted as the conduit for this threat. And I think this is Israeli propaganda, mostly for the consumption of Israel's people, leading to some kind of a false flag, where there'll be a big bang somewhere in Israel. Israel will blame Syria on it, and Netanyahu will be off on another war that he hopes is going to reverse his election chances. And because at some point Syria is going to say, hey, we didn't actually say that, or the United Nations may say, nope, we have no record this happened. The false flag's going to happen soon. In fact, I'm surprised it didn't happen last night. But we'll see. Over at the Temple Mount, tensions are rising there. There continue to be clashes between the illegal settlers and the Palestinians. And apparently somebody set fire to a police post at the Haram al-Sharif, or the Noble Sanctuary, and as a result, the police closed the Temple Mount following the firebomb attack. So we're coming up on the Israeli elections, and everybody's saying, will Netanyahu win? Will he prevail? You know, it doesn't really matter, because everybody else who's running, they're going to have exactly the same attitude toward the Palestinians and Palestine. Nothing will change. Everybody running in the election is firmly against a Palestinian state. That's got to be frustrating here. Story coming on out of Middle East Monitor. Israelis incite against Palestinians on social media every 66 seconds. Just out there constantly trying to enrage them, to inflame them, trying to provoke a response which can then be pointed at as another example of those horrible, terrible Palestinians just behaving badly here. Now, this one could trigger a whole new intifada. Israel's Internal Security and Strategic Affairs Minister Gilad Erdan said yesterday that Jewish prayer in the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound may be planned in the future. Now, he made the remarks on Ben Caspit and Arya Eldad's 103 FM talk show and reported by the pro-settler news site Arutz Shiva. Now, he was talking about these recent confrontations over Bab al-Rama, an area of the compound shuttered by Israeli occupation authorities in 2003. And Erdan pushed back against suggestions that Palestinians would be allowed to use the space. All right, we got to take a break for commercials, and we'll be back after these few words.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Some are maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, distract yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far 5:15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And once again, I've got my beggar's rags on here. Actually, this is the way I always dress. And we're asking for your help. You don't need me to tell you what a dangerous time this is. And you don't need me to tell you how much you're being lied to by corporate media and the government to get you to go along with their agenda of war and conquest. Independent media needs to continue to inform the people as to what's really going on here. And that means Republic Broadcasting. We don't have big corporate sponsors. We don't have foundations giving us money. We don't have any angels out there. Actually, to be very honest, we'd probably turn them down because when somebody comes in with a huge amount of money, there's always strings attached. So we really do rely on you. So if you can help on out, the postal address to send a check, money order, or if you prefer anonymity cash, is Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. The phone number where you can make a credit or debit card donation or pledge to be a recurring subscriber is 800-724-2719. extension 1 during business hours, extension 3 at all other times. The network thanks you. All righty, getting on back to what's going on over in Israel and Palestine. Apparently, an unknown group of illegal Israeli settlers were spotted sealing shut the entrance to a Palestinian mosque yesterday with an unknown adhesive. And the colonists sealed the entrance to the Sheikh Maki Mosque in the old city of Jerusalem. And basically, they had to call in repairmen to remove the material. The doors were reopened. The matter was reported to the Israeli police, who came to the scene and took photographs of the door. And I'm sure that's probably the last we'll ever hear from them about this. So a lot of people are still talking about what's going on with Donald Trump and Jared Kushner and the so-called deal of the century. And more, it looks like that Trump is simply going to offer a bribe to the Palestinian leadership for them to basically give up the right of return, to give up the idea of a Palestinian state, and just sort of forget about all those Israeli war crimes and bombings and everything. You guys are just so picky over there. And I can tell you right now, my opinion, the Palestinians are going to turn him down flat. But Palestine right now is the world's longest colonial war. It's the world's largest open-air prison. It is this giant reminder of a constant, ongoing 12-year war crime. And what's amazing is that everybody who's out there saying we can bring peace to the Mideast don't want to address why there isn't peace. Jason Greenblatt is out there saying, well, you know, those West Bank settlements, they're not an obstacle to peace. You know, all the Palestinians have to do is just, you know, sort of get used to the fact that Israel is building on their land. And I don't understand why they're so upset. Just because it's their land. I mean, that's the attitude here. Anyway, yesterday I put up all four parts of Al Jazeera's documentary on the Israel lobby here in the United States of America, which prompted a DOS attack on my server. But the word is getting on out here, and there's this article over at Information Clearinghouse just basically saying the Israel lobby's buying off of nearly every senior politician in the United States, facilitated by our system of legalized bribery, is not an anti-Semitic trope. It is an established fact. And then the article goes on to talk about the lobby's campaign of character assassination, smearing, blacklisting against anybody who defends Palestinian rights, including Jewish historian Norman Finkelstein and university students, many of them who are Jewish. That's not an anti-Semitic trope. It is a fact. 24 state governments' passage of Israel lobby-backed legislation requiring their workers and contractors under threat of loss of contract or dismissal to sign a pro-Israel oath and promise not to support the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement is not an anti-Semitic trope. It is a fact. I think people are finally waking up. I think people are finally waking up that we live under foreign puppet rule. And polls are showing support for Israel among the American people, not just American Jews, but the American people as a whole. It's plunging. People aren't being scared off by anti-Semite and Jew hate and Nazi any longer. Israel overplayed those cards. They're worn out. We'll be right back after these few words. We've got a caller on the line.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something, by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on. Can't get no wage, can't draw no pay.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. We're going to go to the phones to Layla in Canada. Aloha, Layla. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
Mike, a lot of things, but I'll start with your comment about Norman Finkelstein, who is a remarkable gentleman. I met him when we invited him here to give a talk on what he called the Holocaust industry. His
yes.
parents had actually survived the Holocaust. And he was outraged, and he said his parents would be outraged if they knew what Israel was doing, not only reaping the unwarranted rewards of punitive funding that was being given to various, given out by various countries that were considered culpable of the Holocaust, but he said it wasn't even reaching the people who might actually have been victims of anti-Semitism or perhaps well warranted resentment of some of the Jews in Europe, but he was hounded. His life was utterly destroyed. Every job he ever got, Alan Dershowitz was always leading the band to make sure that no university would hire him, and that has
yes.
happened to a lot of the high quality academics. So that's why I'm suspicious of people like Noam Chomsky, who claims to be a critic of Israel, but is still deeply ensconced in Harvard. And I don't know if you've had a chance. I'm sure you're swamped with emails. But did you see the email I sent you about Harvard University now including amongst its ancient Near Eastern languages and civilizations? They list a whole bunch that in the past were unknown about or ignored. They're now including Yiddish. Imagine Yiddish being a Near Eastern language and civilization.
I was under the impression that Yiddish was kind of something that sort of grew up in, you know, in Europe following the migration of the Ashkenazi out of Russia.
That's correct. That's what it is. And I went into the archives of the New York Times and found that they had been debating for years what was the source of Yiddish. Now, it's very similar in many ways with Old German,
yes,
the Old High German and then Middle German. But it apparently also has a lot of borrowed Slavic loan words, or perhaps even more to its vocabulary than just a few loan words. And that explains why there are so many people that look like Celts, would have had Celtic, you know, the blonde hair, the blue eyes, or whatever. It also, they claim in this archived article that I found, that they also had some Latin, because a lot of the people who called themselves Jewish had become traders with traders, conducting mercantile activities with,
yes,
Romans. Now, remember when I said that a lot of the slave traders used to follow the Roman army or any of the armies that were taking captives and then buying them cheaply so that the,
yes,
armies wouldn't have to feed and take, and then they would sell them at the auctions. The slave auctions for all these white-skinned people used to be in Babylon, in Jerusalem, in Constantinople, and also in Damascus. So we know that these people who called themselves Jews in ancient times were one of the major slave traders, along with Arabs. The Arabs.
Yes.
It's a disgrace that the very concept of, and then somewhere along the way they decided, well, you know, the people who live in the Holy Land are not resurrecting their heritage and marketing it, so it's open. Where there's a vacuum, they filled it, and they claimed all the history that's in the Bible, that being that they were supposed to be the people, or the chosen people.
Yes.
I don't know how many times I heard that phrase ridiculed when I lived in Montreal, where, by the way, the killing of the six Muslims, and I know this is off track, and I apologize, but people don't know this about Quebec. Those six men who were killed in the mosque while they were praying, that was not anti-Semitism. That was Quebec nationalism at its worst. The FLQ, the Front for the Liberation of Quebec, in 1970, kidnapped two diplomats and killed them while they were demanding their independence from the rest of Canada so they could keep their culture and their language. And Trudeau, Pierre Trudeau, the father of this guy, called out the war, installed the War Measures Act. We had tanks in the streets. So there's so many complications, so many layers of history. And I know a lot of people think that history is irrelevant. Why is this old woman going on yammering about history? The problem is, if you don't get to the initial source, you don't see the similarities, and you don't see how it's not different trends, but it's the same core principle that has influenced all the wars that have happened throughout not only the centuries, but the millennia. Now, there's one thing that I've rarely, if ever, heard discussed, and that is the secret Sykes-Picot Treaty of 1916. Have you been able to discuss it on your show?
No, we've never mentioned it before.
Okay, without the 1916 Sykes-Picot Treaty, there would never have been a 1917 Balfour Declaration. The Sykes-Picot Treaty, Sykes was working for the British, and Picot was obviously a French. The French and the British made a secret agreement in 1916 that they would take over the Ottoman Empire, and then they already divided who was going to get which piece of territory, which would go to the French, which would go to the English. The Russian Empire was now fading, and it was not part of the treaty, but it did acquiesce in exchange for getting a warm water port. That was
yes.
The one thing the Russian Empire always needed was a warm water port. So the weak Russian Empire acceded silently to not blow the whistle on this 1916 Sykes-Picot Treaty, out of which there had already been the movements towards the 1917 Balfour Declaration, so that the British could get the support of the Rothschilds with all the money they needed, because, as you know, the Rothschilds always financed both sides, hoping that
yes.
if they killed each other adequately, they could just move in and take over the territory. And, of course, they succeeded in doing that. And parallel with that event, we had Supreme Court justices in the U.S. who were bribing presidents, because they were already Jews. They had risen in the ranks. They were also buying off and influencing Canadians here who were active at the United Nations, including Lester Pearson, Ivan Rand, who became a Supreme Court justice as a reward. And Lester Pearson, of course, got the Nobel Prize, because we have to remember the Rothschilds were friends with the Nobel brothers when they were all active in Akub, Azerbaijan. So it's such a very complicated, long series of histories. But anyway, amongst those people, there was the Khazarian, you can call it an empire, but what they were was mercenaries. They were
yes.
A bunch of disaffected men who had no place, no need for their warrior skills, and they created this empire, and they would rent themselves out. Archived article in the New York Times found that many of the academics found that they were part Turkic, Turco-Slavic, with a bunch of other mixtures. They were almost like gypsies who
yes.
formed a stable place. Now, the top echelon, the ruling echelon of the Khazars, included names like Kagan. Whenever you see a name, K-A-G-A-N, you know that is someone who probably... unless they change their name. Anyone can claim a name somewhere along history and take it as their own. But the Kagan were the ruling elite of the Khazaris. But anyway, there was this 1916 treaty that pretty well put everything in motion. The British also, by the way, I know Mahatma Gandhi led a non-violent movement of throwing out the British. But the one thing we have to remember is it wasn't so much the magical charisma of Mahatma Gandhi, who, by the way, had very bizarre sexual practices and used to sleep with his nieces naked so he could prove that he could resist temptation. He was also a racist. Yeah, I mean, it was Indians who actually uncovered this in books, which have since been buried. But he also, when he fought in the Boer War with the British against the Zulus in South Africa, whatever part of South Africa it was then, he insisted, he was offended that the British would treat the East Indians like the black Africans, which he considered inferior. And he
yes.
constantly insisted they should not have to use the same entrances and boxcars in trains as the black Africans, because the East Indian was equal to the white. But the East Indians were considered wogs along with the Arabs. But anyway, so he was a racist towards
yes.
the blacks. He favored the caste system, which created the untouchables. But anyway, why did the British pull out of India? They were under siege everywhere. Remember,
yes.
1947 is when they were also cooperating with the Zionists to create Palestine. Meanwhile,
well, the only reason the United States won the revolution was because Great Britain was tangled up elsewhere with their war with France and they just ran out of money and personnel. If Britain had not been so encumbered, we'd still be part of Great Britain today.
Including British North America. They were also
yeah.
fighting numerous wars. They did have allies amongst the native aboriginals who were brutal. We keep acting as though they were some kind of peaceful, mystical people, but they were not one people. They were many, many different ethnic groups or racial groups, because the oldest skeletons are proving to have been Caucasian, not Mongoloid.
Yes.
But anyway, the reason that they were able to do that, Lord Moyne, who was in Egypt, people don't know this. Britain, the reason the Muslim Brotherhood was created was because the British were so busy exploiting the Egyptian people and depriving them of their rights that I think his name was Sayyid Qutb, he was in prison when he started the Muslim Brotherhood, and that was to provide basic services to the poor Egyptian people who were being exploited by the British. But the irony is, who was it that assassinated Lord Moyne in his elegant mansion, Egyptian mansion that didn't belong to him? It was two Zionist activists for the Zionist movement. Two men who were captured because they were actually captured by a policeman who was nearby on a motorcycle. They were tried and executed in Egypt, in Cairo. In the late 1970s, their bodies were brought back to Israel, and they were buried as heroes. And guess who provided the escort airplane to bring their bodies back to Tel Aviv to bury them in an honored cemetery? The United Nations. I mean, let's remember.
Boy, that's a little out there. Okay, listen, Layla, sorry to cut you off. You know, we're starting to wander very far afield, and everybody's very impressed with the breadth of your knowledge, including yours truly. We have another caller waiting on the line I need to get to. Before we go, I want to skip all the way back to the beginning when you were talking about how the ancient Israelites were basically grabbing other people's history and claiming it for their own. And it reminds me of an interesting story that came out a few years ago where the Egyptologist Zahi Hawass, I'm sure you probably remember the name, had basically come on out and said that whatever the Exodus actually was, and it wasn't what you saw in the movies, it happened to the Hyksos, not the Hebrews. And basically, the reason Pharaoh chased after them was that when the Hyksos were on their way out of Egypt, they were just looting and pillaging and plundering and killing on their way out. And so Pharaoh felt he had to deal with that. And then they got caught in the swamps and so forth and so on. The rest is there. But again, this is an age in which there was no such thing as copyright. We know that the Epic of Gilgamesh was copied over for much of the Old Testament. And that was
considered Sumeria. Actually, from ancient Sumeria,
the first
civilization that we're aware of. But that man yesterday who called you and talked about how Egypt controlled the area that where they claimed there was that kingdom of Israel and Judah, he was absolutely correct. Egypt had control over that whole area. That is why when the people of the sea, which were many evading or migrants who were coming away from climatic disasters and seeking refuge there, Egypt actually settled them in the land of Canaan, which is from the Egypt delta all the way up to Turkey. So Egypt actually had garrisons all through Canaan. And it is theorized, because there's no evidence of the Exodus, it is theorized to the extent that the Hebrews claim that they were actually, because they were under the overlordship of Egyptian puppets, that it was an internal revolt, and that is how they consider themselves unenslaved. It was actually Canaanites who were the first people who fought against the oppression of the Egyptians being the overlords. And by the way, the god Yahweh, Jehovah, is believed to have been the patron god of the men who were the miners of tin in Canaan. So he was a Canaanite god. The word that they use today for God, rather than speaking the unspeakable name because it's so holy, Adon was a Canaanite god. And even the Greeks adopted Adon, and he became Adonis.
Adon had been a slight variation on the Aten, which was from the Egypt's monotheistic period, and that Adonai, I mean, the I is a possessive. And this fits in with Sigmund Freud's theory that Moses was actually the deposed heretic pharaoh, Amenhotep IV, or Akhenaten. Anyway,
with that, personally. But anyway, yes, it's very complicated, and there are a lot of claims.
Well, history is very complicated. They have the advantage of years over us. It's a couple of thousand years, and I'm only 66. So anyway, listen, Leila, got to let you go. Got to take a commercial break. We have another caller on the line who's been waiting very, very patiently, and we'll be right back.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigraLeaf. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigraLeaf migraine formula. MigraLeaf is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over 2 with migraines. Try MigraLeaf for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life, or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
It happens more often than we can imagine. In my case, I was sitting at home, and out of nowhere, I just started feeling uncomfortable. Then it got worse, and I started perspiring. I tried to ignore it, but I waited too long. The chest pain came as we were driving to the hospital emergency. I felt my life clock begin to tick. I barely survived. There was lots of damage done to my heart. What do I do now? I was lucky. I took a leap of faith and tried a 7-herb formula with hawthorn, garlic, cayenne, and more called Extendivite. Herbs have been used for thousands of years to keep us healthy. If you're not using Extendivite as a preventative supplement, maybe it's time to start. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Money, honey, we got the bombs. We'll plant them anywhere you like and blow up in L1. Whip this world into a frenzy, killing babies, dads, and moms. If you got the money, honey, we got the bombs. If you got the money, well, we won't say we did. The towers in New York.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And we're going to go right back to the phones to Don in the Philippines. And Don, I thank you very much for being so patient. Leila does have a tendency to sort of ramble on, and I try and keep her under control. I'm even getting some email complaints about it right now that she needs to stay focused. Anyway, what's on your mind today?
Layla should write a book. Has she written any books?
I'm not aware if she has or has not, but you're right, she should. She's got her perspective on history. I don't
nobody
agree with
knows
all of
really,
it.
Nobody knows exactly what, you know, that's why your show is a current event show. Nobody knows exactly what happened even 50 years ago, let alone 1,000 years ago and all that. I mean, it's all, she can talk about it, but if she sticks closer to the present time, she's more interesting because she actually does know a lot about, she lived over there in the Middle East too, and she knows that. But anyway, I wanted to comment about your, you had a snippet in there about Bobby Fischer Against the World, a review of the movie.
Yes.
And, it's true, Bobby Fischer was against Zionism. There was some radio show there in Brooklyn, and he tuned into it. The guy talked about Zionism, and he became interested in it. But he's coming out. It's right now. I mean, people are starting to realize that this whole Israel controls a lot of stuff. And Bobby Fischer knew this way back in his early years. Israel somehow wrested control of America from the Americans, and but one thing Bobby Fischer said in one of it, there's been a few documentaries about him. One thing that I remember he said, there's never been an adequate answer to this question is why do people talk to the FBI? And his mother trained him. His mother, I guess, was a communist. She trained him to never talk to the FBI. She trained him to say this one sentence to them: I have nothing to say to you. And that way, yep, they can't get him for perjury. He can't. If he would say, well, I don't remember that, then they can come back and accuse him, well, you did remember this or whatever. If they just say, I have nothing to say to you, and he had to memorize that, and he said this when these guys came around his house and asked him questions and stuff. And I can never understand why these people talk to the FBI. There's so many of these people in this recent Mueller investigation. They all got charged with the same thing, lying to the FBI. If they would not say a word to them, they would not be charged with lying. There's no way you could charge somebody with lying if they remain silent. And Bobby Fischer knew this at an early age. And he was a smart guy. I don't know exactly why you put that snippet in there about the movie, he was an interesting,
well, mostly because, yeah. I mean, you know, Bobby Fischer was this huge, you know, very famous chess champion, and yep, he had this great career. And then he went public with his opinions about Israel and the Holocaust, and he just evaporated. And we've seen that happen to so many people through the years. Anyway, Don, got to let you go. Got to do station identification. We'll be right back after these few words.
Media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.